First, let's introduce tinnitus. There are three types of tinnitus we have in halacha. First type is a tinnitus sibur, which is a public fast day. There are four of those that are mentioned in Navi. Tisha B'Av, number one, which commemorates the Churban Beis HaMikdash, of course, number one. Number two is Asar B'Tevis, which commemorates the surrounding of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash by our enemies. The third one is Shivas B'Tamuz, which commemorates the destruction of the walls, the breaching of the walls. And the fourth is today, and that is Som Gedalia. Som Gedalia commemorates the assassination of Gedalia ben Achikam. Gedalia ben Achikam was the governor of Judea. After the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a glimmer of hope that the Beis HaMikdash would be quickly rebuilt. And that flicker of hope went out when Gedalia ben Achikam was assassinated. And this is one of the makoros for emotional sadness on a communal level, the halakha recognizes well. Because all the first three was something happened to the Beis HaMikdash itself. The last one, which is Gedalia ben Achikam today, really, in essence, nothing happened to the Beis HaMikdash itself. But it was a terrible sadness that hit upon Klal Yisrael. And because of that, we mourn. And that's one of the makoros that the halacha not only recognizes a chola who's physically ill, but also someone who is emotionally or mentally ill. The halacha also recognizes that as well. And Som Gedalia is one of the makoros for that. Reb Moshe has tshuvas. If someone has to see a psychiatrist or psychologist, can he go to someone who doesn't believe in Hashem? And he has a tshuva about that. And he recommends, of course not, that you should go to someone, preferably someone who is observant, but at least someone that believes in Hashem. Because some tenets of psychology are mamshaki courses. And he says you have to be very wary about that. And someone could be steered off the derech has shown. If a person has to see someone, has to be very wary that a person won't go to someone that's going to stare him off the derech has shown. But nonetheless, this is the four fasts that we have, and I want to call them the four fasts because they revolve around the mourning of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Of course, we have Tinus Esther, which is part of the Din of Purim, in fact. In fact, we could label Tinus Esther as being a Tinus of Simcha. That's what the Mordechai, according to the Hagos of the Machzah Shekel on the bottom of the page of the Mordechai in the beginning of the Seches Megillah, he calls Tinus Esther a Tinus of Simcha. So it has nothing to do with Avelis. The Rosh writes in the beginning of Megillah B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, because we commemorate the war that we won, that they fasted, and therefore a Tinus Esther has nothing to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it's a Chelik of Purim, and Be'ez Hashem, when we get to that, Tinus Esther, we'll talk about that further, when we get to Tinus Esther, at that time of the year, but it's certainly a completely different Tinus. Also, Tinus B'chor, on Erev Pesach, is not mentioned in Shas, it's only mentioned in the Medrash. Therefore, since only mentioned in the Medrash, we have a kula that you could have assumed, and that would substitute not having Tinus B'chor. So it's not, it is, of course it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but it's not as Chomor, and that also has nothing to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That was because the B'chor of Yisrael were saved and the Churban Mitzrayim were killed. So that also has nothing to do with Avelis. So it's very important we get that spectrum about what exactly is considered to be the different Tanaisim that we have on the calendaric year. Okay, now on Som Gedalia itself, we have a very important Shiloh, because historically it could be that Gedalia ben Achikam was assassinated on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, on Beis Tishrei. If that's the case, then we really shouldn't have Ketanis today. But of course, Alpidin, we don't fast on Rosh Hashanah, even though there were certain Gaonim that said you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. However, we don't paskin like that, and we assume you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, Alpi Halacha. Here at Rosh Hashanah, it's quoted, Shulchan Aruch, there's a minute to fast. Many people fast only until Chatzos. There were those that fasted the whole day. You know, on Kol Nidre, Ma'ariv is longer. We have the Ma'arovos. Ma'arovos, that's what they're called. The Chazan says the Ma'arovos. They used to have that on Pesach, on Sukkot, and Shavuos. Why is there no Ma'arovos on Lel Rosh Hashanah? Because there were those people that fasted the whole day of Rosh Hashanah. They'd be starving. So therefore, there was no additional Ma'arovos written for Ma'ariv on Lel Rosh Hashanah. Okay? But there is a shita, and the Taz writes like this, that every Tzom Gedalia that we have is Nidchet. Because really he was assassinated on Beis Tishrei, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So he can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, so he pushed it off to Gimel Tishrei, which is today. So therefore, Tzom Gedalia in its root was a Nidchet. Therefore, one could have Kulas if there was a Bris today. Then maybe one could walk, one could have a kula if someone's during a Sheva Brachas. Also, maybe there would be a kula according to this Taz. And because since the Tzom of Tishu of Tzom Gedalia was in its very origin a Nidcha, one could maybe have a kula if a bris was today regarding the father of the child and the tzaddik and the moil. And also, if someone is during a Sheva Brachas, also, maybe one could maybe come up with a kula as well, perhaps, because it would be nidchet. However, later Achronim argue on this and claim it is not nidchet. You have to say it was a historical machlokes, and that he was not assassinated on yesterday, but rather he was assassinated today, and therefore there would be no such kulas regarding what the Tzom of Tzom Gedalia. Okay? That's as of introduction. Now, before we get to the details of Hilchos Tainis, I want to mention a very interesting shiloh that comes up. I heard this originally from Rav Zkaria ben Shlomo, Shlita, one of my Rebbeim, Rav Shkoylon Shalvin, who wrote the Sefer Hilchos Sava, and he has his own title now. He's a great, great guy. There is a shiloh in the poskim. If someone physically will not have enough strength, God forbid, let's say he's not well enough to fast both Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur, because the window of time is that they're so closer together that the tightness of Tzom Gedalia might knock him out, and he just will not have gathered enough strength to recover the next coming 8-9 days to ready oneself for Yom Kippur. What is the din in such a case? Can only fast one of the two. Which one should he fast? Interesting shiloh. So in the Buchacha Rav, the Eshel Avram, the great goat, the Buchacha Rav, at Simon Tov Reish Yud Beis, was asked this shiloh. And he was asked, what's the din in such a case? Because the truth is, Yom Kippur we know is D'Oraisa. Tzom Gedalia is Medivrei Kabbalah. Medivrei Kabbalah is usually accepted as being D'Rabbanan. It's a Machlokes the Balamor, Rebar Tzaloni, Meseches Tainis. The Ran quotes it in Tainis. Is Divrei Kabbalah and Divrei Torah Dami or not? But we normally assume it's the Rabbanan. So here you have Tzom Gedalia, which is in the Rabbanan, that will mess up the fellow. He won't be able to fast me to write on Tisha B'Av. What do you do? What do you do? The truth is, if he fasts now and he gets to Yom Kippur, he's an onus. He's an onus. The basic question is, is a person allowed to put oneself in a mach, in a matzav of pikuach nefesh or onus? Can you lechachila put yourself in a manner that you will be in a manner of pikuach nefesh or onus itself? This is a major machlokes is the Balamor and the Rabban in Maseches Shabbos. Can you put yourself in a matzav of pikuach nefesh and onus or not? The Gemara has a case that you have to boil up hot water for a baby to mal him on Shabbos so that he won't get infected. In the times of the Gemara, we don't want infection. So let's say that the hot water before the bris spilled on the ground. You had no hot water. So can you go ahead and do the Mila? And by doing the Mila forces a situation of what? Of Pikuach Nefesh, and you'll have to boil up the water. So can you ideally do that, or do you push off the bris? That's a big machlokes, the Balamor and the Rabban and the Masechta Shabbos. In fact, the Balamor contradicts himself. But Lamaisa, that's why the Gemara writes, you're not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos. Because being on the boat trip, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, definitely Thursday, Friday, Wednesday's a machlokes. But on the boat trip, you might have to be Mechal Shabbos. So are you allowed to be machnis yourself into a matzav of Pikuach Nefesh or onus? That's basically this shaila said the Buchacha Rav Lamaisa. In the Buchacha Rav, and that's what the Sefer Oha Moshe writes, that this depends on the machlekes, the Balamor, the Ramban. If you fast on Tzom Gedalia, you're going to be in a situation you won't be able to fast on Kippur, but you're an onus. Is that permissible? Well, that depends. Are you able to put yourself in a matzah of onus or Pikuach Nefesh? Machlekes, Balamor, and the Ramban. Okay? So, this shaila was asked, as I said, to the Buchacha Rav, and the Sefer Oha Moshe says it depends on this machlekes. This was dealt with in a little bit of a different situation by the Bir Heitev in Simen Sadi in Hilchos Tefillin. The Bir Heitev in Simen Sadi, Sifkot Yid Aleph, dealt with the following shaila. There was a man in prison, in jail, and he wanted to daven in a minyan. So the warden of the prison said, I'll give you one day. Which day do you choose? The first day that comes to you? First day that you have the opportunity? Or do you wait until Rosh Hashanah in order you'll be able to hear the shofar? So there the Bir Heitev, Bir Heitev's in the Mishnah Berurah, you can look at the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes the Radbaz and Chelik Aleph Simen Yud Gimel, who points out there's a famous cloud called what? Mitzvah Abad Yadiyacha Al Yachmitzen. A mitzvah that comes to your hand, never sour it. Do it immediately. Where does the Ramah quote this halacha? Right after Yom Kippur, you're supposed to put up what? The sukkah. It's the very end of Hilchos Yom Kippur. The Ramah writes, it's interesting, we wrote, sorry, I said, it's interesting, the Ramah puts in Hilchos Yom Kippur, not in Hilchos Sukkahs. The end of Hilchos Yom Kippur, he says, as soon as Yom Kippur ends, you should build a sukkah. You should try to take out the boards, make sure you don't wake anyone up when you're doing it. But Lamaisa mitzvah boliyach ha'ayach mitzvah. And the halacha writes that you should put up the sukkah as soon as you can. So to here, said the Radbaz, the first opportunity this man can daven a minyan, go out that day. Don't wait a few months for Rosh Hashanah, even though the shofar will be on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Phenomenal psak of the Radbaz. However, the Chai Adam argues in Klas Amiches and claims that we never say the klal ein ma'virin ala mitzvahs unless you can fulfill both mitzvahs. Ein ma'virin ala mitzvahs means, what is ein ma'virin ala mitzvahs? You're supposed to put your talis on before your tefillin. If you took the tefillin out first, you can't just ignore the tefillin. You got to put the tefillin on first, right? L'chachila, you're supposed to always put the talis on then the tefillin, right? But if you put the took the tefillin out first, you have to put the tefillin on. Because ain't my fear no mitzvah, you can't cross over a mitzvah that came here. Right? What if I have it if you took out your tefillin shorosh before the tefillin shoyah? What's it then? There you still got to put on the tefillin shoyah because it's a pasuk. What does it say? Chart of los ayadecha, but you don't tell the boss being enough. And the Torah has the yad first. Okay? Oh. So what do you see from here? You see from here, says the chayyad, we only apply the principle ain't my fear no mitzvah if you can do both mitzvahs. If you cannot do both mitzvahs, what's it then? The whole klal doesn't apply. And what do? You do the more stringent mitzvah, says the Chai Adam. And therefore, the Chai Adam would say you'd wait till Rosh Hashanah. You don't apply the principle mitzvah of Ol Yor Chayach Mitzvah. You just don't. That's the Shiloh. If you have Chayalim that have to do Mishmar, and they have a choice. They could do their Mishmar here of Yom Kippur, but they won't be able to put on their tefillin. The whole day they have to be working in their mishmar. Right? Or they can wait till Yom Kippur and do their mishmar and they won't be able to fast. Which one comes first? Tefillin? Erev Yom, doing the mishmar on when? Doing the mishmar Erev Yom Kippur, missing the tefillin. Or doing the mishmar Yom Kippur and not being able to fast. So he claims also the more chomer one. Therefore you'd fast and you would do the mishmar Erev Yom Kippur. Okay? That's what the Chai Adam writes. Against the Radbaz. What happens if you have a woman that fasts every second day of Rosh Hashanah? She had a bad dream. And therefore she's been fasting every second day of Rosh Hashanah her whole life. Then she's got to fast some Gedalia today, the next day, two consecutive days, and she's nursing her child. She can only fast one day if her milk will dry up if she fasts two consecutive days. What do you do according to the Chai Adam? What do you do? So what's the halacha? What would you say? So according to the Radbaz, you would take in Mavir al Mitzvah, whatever comes first, and you fast the second day of Rosh Hashanah. According to what? And that's what the Zer Emes paskens. According to Chai Adam, what would you say? Whichever one is more chomer. And which is more chomer here? Tzom Gedalia. This was a personal fast she took upon herself. Correct? So therefore, it's a big machlokes, and the Chai Adam would say you do the more important one, which is Tzom Gedalia. So this is a very, very big machlokes. The pashtus is, he would say, like the Chai Adam. Whichever one is more chomer, and therefore you fast on one, on... In all the shalas, how many different shalas do we have just now? Four or five different shalas. Let's go through them. Tzom Gedalia, Yom Kippur. If you don't like the Chai Adam, you would do Yom Kippur, right? Pashut Shad. The shalah of what? What'd you say? A guy in jail, you tell him to do Rosh Hashanah. Right? The shalah of the Chayalim, you tell him to what? Do it on Erev Yom Kippur, so you can fast. The shalah of the woman, fast on Tzom Gedalia. Right? Because over and over the private fasting. Whereas if you all like the Radbaz, in my brilliance, he'll be cholik on all of us. He'll say the guy in jail, the first opportunity you get out. Tzom Gedalia comes first before Yom Kippur. You do that. Okay? Then take case of the Chayalim, you would want put on tefillin first, plus a shot. And you'd wait, and you would do it on Yom Kippur, you wouldn't have the fast. So it managed down the line. Now this, I just want to note to you, this is assuming, you guys, are you cold? Okay, if anyone's cold, maybe we should turn it off. It's like 70 out, right? Okay, we'll leave it on for now. But Lamaisin, it'll keep us up, because we're all so tired. But Lamaisin, this is a premise of the Chai Adam, is assuming that certain mitzvahs that we know for sure are more chamor than others. What's that famous line? In the Mishnah, in almost in the beginning of the Perek Beis, have a zohar b'mitzvah kala, give a chamura, right? What does the Rambam say in the Perish Mishnah? Said, we don't know the amount of reward you'll get for many mitzvahs, right? Therefore, ain't ma'vir al mitzvahs. So it seems, Lamaisa, that it's not so poshut, Lamaisa. Not so poshut, that if you can't do both mitzvahs, we don't say ain't ma'vir al mitzvahs. Not so poshut. There is the Rambam that writes that in the Perish of Mishnayis, and Rashi in Masechta Sukkah seems to imply the same thing, that in fact we would say in Ma'avir al Mitzvahs, even if you cannot fulfill both mitzvahs. Okay? It's not so poshut at all. Alright? So I want you to get that. There is a Rambam and the Rashi that say we do say in Ma'avir al Mitzvahs, even if you can't fulfill both mitzvahs. Okay? So now we've discussed what exactly the concept of Tainis Sibor is. Okay? What's the second category of fast that we have in Halacha? A Tainis Yochid. A private fast. That can only be taken upon oneself if someone accepts upon oneself. Oh, I'm getting cold too. By a Tainis Yochid, you can only fast a Tainis Yochid if the Mincha before the fast.
First, got cold.
The Mincha before the fast.
No, it's...
What you do, you add in, if you ever notice at the end of Mincha, there's a Rimon HaOlamin. You know, there's a Rimon HaOlamin. And in the Rimon HaOlamin, you accept upon yourself a netter that you're going to fast tomorrow. You can't just wake up and fast. formal Kabbalah. And that formal Kabbalah is that Mincha, the Ribbon Olamim, we have the Yossi, can I draw me to the Arch Kosider there? If you ever noticed, at the end of Mincha, there are two paragraphs. We're going to talk about the other one too, Bez Hashem. But the one on the bottom is, I'm sorry, the one on the top is the one where you take the netter, to accept upon yourself a tainus. That's what's a tainus yoch. Very important. You need that. If you noticed when you did Ataris Nadarim of Rosh Hashanah, did you notice that was the only exception? You want to get rid of all your Nadarim, accept the netter v'shas mincha. Remember that phrase? Why? Because that netter v'shas mincha was a netter that you wanted because you can't have a tainus without it. Okay? So that's very important. The tainus yoch requires a Kabbalah. Okay. Then, there is a third category which cannot have a Kabbalah, and that is what's called a Tainus Cholom. Tainus Cholom is someone, if God forbid, has a bad dream. Okay? And obviously you can't have a Kabbalah because you didn't know you're going to have the bad dream. And then Mishnah Berurah says we fast that. The Gemara says you even fasted on Shabbos, but because you fast on Shabbos, you have to make up with another fast day because you weren't allowed to fast on Shabbos, theoretically. So Gemara writes a Tainus, you got to do two things. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, very, very adamant, Tainus Cholom, you fast. The Rav HaShulchan argues and says, if you're the type of person that the Cholom doesn't bother you, then there is no need to have a fast. If you're the type of person, though, that it bothers, then you should fast. Now if it's too hard for you to fast, you could always be poted bitstaka. The amount of money that you would spend to eat on food that day, you should be poted. I don't know, $20, $25, however much money it is, because it depends how hungry you would be that day. But it's interesting that you would need to be poted. So Reb Moshe was asked a shaila by his son, Reb Reuven Shlita. When he was a young man, Reb Reuven asked Reb Moshe, he wanted to take upon himself different fasts. So he asked Reb Moshe, does he recommend it? Does he not recommend it? Reb Moshe wrote back in the Tshuva, he recommends against it very strongly. Because he says, you're young, you're growing to be a big Talmid Chacham, you need your strength and energy, and therefore you shouldn't take on extra tanes. Okay, but this is what it depends upon. So no, I know the process is, you could rely on the Aruch HaShulchan if, God forbid, he had a bad dream, but it'd be best to quote the amount of money it's sucked. There's also a concept called Hatavas Chalom, where you try to sit in front of a Beis Din, and the Beis Din transforms the Chalom into good. In fact, I hope you said that during Duchening, you know, the Ribbon Olamim. You know, you're not supposed to say the Psukim during the Duchening. That's the way we pass. You know those Psukim next to the words Yair? But what you are supposed to say is when the Quran are singing the I's, you're supposed to say the Ribbon Olamim. That Ribbono Olam, that tefillah is you're espoused to Hashem that your bad dream should be transformed into good. And you could say that three times. During each time that you're singing the ayahs, that's when you sing it. But you have to make sure you stop when they say the word. After each bracha, you're supposed to answer amen. You know, after Vishmarecha, after Vichonek, and after Shalom, you answer amen. Okay? So this is the third category that you have in Hilchos Tainus, called a Tainus Chalom. Yes, Zach, go ahead. I don't recall. I don't remember. It could be the I don't know. It's mentioned in the Gemara in Sota. I don't remember the Duchani in Eretz Yisrael. They don't sing it at all. They sing every day. Even on Yom Tov, they don't sing. I don't know. Yeah, but he's Zach saying every day they don't have that. So when do you have the opportunity to say it? But during the Duchanim, you're not supposed to say it to Mishnah Berurah says when they say the words. So I don't know, it's a good kasha, we'd have to look into it. But the statement is from the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Sota of Ariban Oil. Okay. So now that we have the three categories of Tainus, now let us begin, and we're going to focus more on the four, the middle four I'll call them. The reason why I call them the middle four, the four revolve around the Churban. Okay. We mentioned that Tainus Esther is on one pole because it's really a Tainus Simcha. We didn't mention the Tainus that's Tzeirais, which is Yom Kippur. That's on the other pole. Okay? So you have the middle four that revolve around the Churban. And we're going to Pasha's focus on those. Okay? More. Maybe we'll touch upon Yom Kippur as well. We know that the Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazaka, right? The Mishnah Torah. called the Yad Chazaka because there are 14 Svarim in it. And if I would ask you, where does the Rambam place Hilchos Tainus? Where would you think? If you had to categorize it, this is like geography of the Rambam. Where would you place it? Al Pi Halacha. What'd you say? Who said Smada? Isaac, okay, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't have. That's exactly where the Rambam put it, okay? Very good, Isaac. I would not have put it there. Okay, I would not have put it there. But your same thought process, no, it's very good as the Rambam. I would have put it in Sefer Shoftim. What's Sefer Shoftim? That's where Hilchos Aveilus is. I would have put it into the Hilchos of Mourning. Or maybe another area I would have put it maybe is Sefer Kedusha, where it's Hilchos Macholos Asuris. You can't eat on this day, right? But Isaac says very correctly that the Rambam places Hilchos Tainus in Sefer Zmanim. Now that's very, very telling, okay? Why is that so telling? Because if you look at Sefer Zmanim, the Rambam has Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yontif, Hilchos Shvisis Asur, Hilchos Sukkos, Hilchos Lulav, all the Chagim and the Moadim are where, are found in Hilchos what? Are found in Hilchos Sefer Zmanim. So this is quite telling in the following sense, that Tainus is a partial Yontif. That's what we want to proclaim today. That Tainus is a partial Yontif. It's not just simply a day of cessation of eating and drinking, of dieting. But rather, it is mamish a partial yontif. And that is seen very clearly where the Rambam places what? The halachas. Okay. Let us begin with the Rambam in Pirak Aleph Halacha Yud Dalet in Hilchos Tainus. Okay? Did anyone not get any of the Makaris? Did everyone get the Makaris? Yes. Okay. Rambam writes here in Pirak Aleph Halacha Yud Dalet, an amazing thing. Okay? I'll read it to you, the Rambam. Kol Asharui B'Tanis, anyone who dwells in a Tainis, Bein Shai Mis'ana Al-Tzaraso, whether he's fasting because of a terrible tzuris that happened, O Achalomo, or a dream, Bein Shai Mis'ana Imatzibur Al-Tzaraso, or whether he's very distressed with the tzibur on their tzuris, Harez Eloyinog Idunin Ba'atzmo, he should not be knowing any Idunin. He should not be knowing any Idunim delicacies for himself. Lo Yako Rosho, he shouldn't have Kalas Rosh on a Tainus. Lo Yisameh V'Tovev, he shouldn't be happy in a good heart. El Doeg, he should worry, V'Onen, he should sigh. Ki'inyin Shenemar Ma'isonen Odom Chai Gevra Chatov. Umudelo Litom Esatashul. Then the Rambam writes, Mutter, to taste the Tafsha, a few of the Kedei Revis, even up to Revis, you can taste it. But you can't swallow it. You're cooking a soup, you want to see how it's good. Vushalo Yivla, you can't swallow it. Toim Upolin, you must taste and spit it out. Concludes the Rambam, Shochach V'Ochol, if you've forgotten, ate Mashlim Tanisa. Right, I remember as a kid, you take a drink from the water fountain. Oh, by accident on the Tainus, you took a drink, you say, oh, the Tainus is over. That's ridiculous. The Rambam writes, Shochach v'ochol mashlim taniso. If you forgot and ate, you have to complete the Tainus. Oh. So what do you see from this Rambam? You see from this Rambam an amazing thing. You see from the Rambam that the day of Tainus is not just a day of Isser of Achila v'shtiyah, like I said, a day of cessation of eating and drinking and of dieting, but rather it is a yom of tshuva and cheshbon ha-nefesh. And there is a chalos, there is an effect to the day, like it's a partial yontif. I also remember as a kid, I used to try to play ball. I played ball all day, right? I think I was a strong man, I fasted and played ball all day. I mean, you missed the boat. The whole essence of the Tainus, says the Mishnah Brura, in Simin Tov Kuf Mem Tesif Kot Nalif, he's masber, that a Tainus Seber is a Yom Tshuva. We'll say it as a Shem after Yonah. What does the Pasuk say? Like Ami Anshin Ninva? Vayar Hashem es Maaseim, v'omru chachomim zichronim lebrocha, et zakam v'satanisum lo ne'amar. Doesn't say that the Hashem saw the what? The Anshin Ninva saw their sackcloth and their fasting. What did Hashem see of the men of Ninva? Ela es Maaseim, Vein tainis el achanu l'tshuva. The tainis sets up the atmosphere of doing tshuva. But the day of tainis is not a yom isra achila v'shtiyah. The day of tainis is considered to be a what? A chalois to it, that it's a partial yontif that manifests itself in doing tshuva. And this is why the Rambam writes explicitly that it is in Sefer Svarim. Because Atayas is a partial yontif. It is not simply a yom of Isra Achilu Mishtiyah. That's why geographically the Rambam actually places it in Sefer Svarim. Okay? Fits in quite well. Oh. This, says Rav Shulti Zatzal, the great chief Rav of Yushalayim, points out a beautiful, beautiful chiddush. What is puzzling with this Rambam? What do you think is puzzling with this Rambam that I read? The end of the Rambam. What's the beginning of the Rambam talk about? The properties of the tainus, right? What you're supposed to, what it means, introspection. And how does it close that same halacha? Yeah, I mean, that's a technical halacha. About forgetting and eating and tasting and spitting out, shouldn't that have been devoted to a separate halacha? What is the Rambam driving at by incorporating in the very same halacha what the essence of a tainus is, and then he closes the halacha with what? With a technicality about, oh, if you taste it, spit it out, and if you forgot name, you have to complete the tainus. It's very bizarre. We could say geographically in the Rambam, what is he doing in the halacha here? So that's exactly the point. The point that the Rambam's bringing out is that it's not considered to be a day of what? He says, don't get too bogged down on the issur of eating and drinking. And to the degree, oh, if I ate in the morning, by accident, drank, there's no more time. It's not true. If you by mistake ate, it continues. If you're going to taste, spit it out. He's trying to tell you that what the whole halacha of not eating and drinking is to set up the atmosphere of doing tshuva. That's why he incorporates in the very, very same halacha. It's a beautiful pshat. This is what we want to suggest. The Meisen Rav Shulti also has like that in his Sefer Mishneh Shavitz. But Lamaisa, this is what we want to bring out as the Chiddush of the Rambam. Okay, so this opens the door for us to prove, and this is what we have to prove, that is there real Kedusha and a status to a Titus? Let's prove it. Where do we find that it is a partial yontif? In what sense is it? Okay. So let's begin. There is a rift in Maseches Tainis on Daf Yud Beis of an Aleph Dibra Maskel Amos that is Masbir that we mentioned before. You need to have a Kabbalah. Every Tainis requires a Kabbalah. Now, today, for Tzom Gedaliah, did we have a Kabbalah? No, we didn't. In fact, any Tainis Sibur, there is no Kabbalah. Sar Vitev is the Mincha before. We don't say that Ribbon Olam. That's why many people don't even know what the Ribbon Olam is. If we said it, we would know about it, right? Why is there no need to have a Kabbalah for a Tainis Tzibur? Because it's understood. Everyone knows on the calendar when the Tainis Tzibur is, there's no need to have a Kabbalah. But if theoretically you should have one. But it's all automatic. A Tainis Yochid, though, does that need a Kabbalah? Yes. Where did that come from, the need to have a Tainis Kabbalah? Tainis Yochid have a Kabbalah. What'd you say?
You shouldn't really add it. It's like putting yourself in a situation.
Okay. All right. But for tshuva, Seth, we allow it. It's a good point. The Gemara discusses that you're not supposed to be mitzar yourself. The Gemara puts it together with the shita that says a nazar is a chaytik, right? In nazar. In Maseches Tainis and Daf Tes. Very good. But assuming that you need to do it, you need a kabbal. Where'd that come from? So Rifa says an amazing thing. He says that Tainus is modeled after Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif, there's a need to have a Kabbalah. You know, like we're Makabal Shabbos and Yontif, the Gemara writes about Bakama Daflamin, they went outside and they were Makabal Shabbos, you know, Shabbos Malkasa. There's a notion of Kabbalah Shabbos. In fact, there's a mitzvah usher in Shabbos and Yontif early even. If something is kosher to you, you introduce it. You just stop, wake up and do it. Something that's kosher, you introduce it. A lot of times, you introduce a speaker. There's a notion of introduction. Just get the person up to speak. When you have a guest speaker to come speak, you just don't have him speak. There's an introduction. You get him covered. And the same thing when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, you want to formally make Kabbalah Shabbos and Yontif. That it should be something special to you. So he says, just like Shabbos Inyantif requires a formal Kabbalah, so Uadin Dami Tainis requires a formal Kabbalah as well. And that formal Kabbalah is that Ribono Olam that is needed. So this is the first marker we want to show, that just like Shabbos Inyantif has a full-fledged Kedusha, so Tainis is modeled after Shabbos Inyantif, must be that Tainis as well has what? Has Kedusha to it as well. A partial Kedusha at that, but it is a partial Kedusha. Okay? And it's modeled after Shabbos Inyantif, which is a full-fledged Kedusha. Tainis has a mixed Kedusha. That's number one marker to show that there is partial Kedusha. Number two. The Ran in Meseches Tainis and the Dape Arif and Daf Dalon Amanal Dibramaskal Yerushalmi writes that there is a Gemara in Meseches Shabbos and Daf Chof Dalon Amanal that quotes, there is an opinion that says you say Aneinu in your Shmon Esrei and all three tefillas, Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. Believe it or not, all three we say Aneinu. We don't paskin like that, but there is such a sheet. And the Ran explains, I want you to know something, the Ran says, that even according to that shita that we say Aneinu all three times, which itself is a chiddush, right, because you're eating at night. We'll have to explain what that means, though. How can you say Aneinu at night? But he says, I want you to know, even if you hold like the shita that says Aneinu all three times, you don't say kiddush. You don't say kiddush. And he says, at every tainis, you don't say kiddush. That's what the Ran says. I mean, again, nachum. There is a sheet in the Gemara in Shabbos from Talmud says, Yaneinu by all three tefillahs. He says, even according to that day that says, Yaneinu by all three tefillahs, don't say kiddush. So Zulti, he asks in his Sefer, Simenai, Avov, and Rechaim, he says, what kind of hafamina would I think that you'd say kiddush for a tainis? Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, and Tisha B'Av, you can't eat it and drink at night. You're going to say kiddush? What's the shot behind that, right? It's very strange. In fact, you know, we shouldn't, and this is very important. I want to mention this. We didn't mention it in the introduction. But let's get it. The Gemara writes in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yudches Amud Beis that when there is no Beis HaMikdash and there is anti-Semitism, you must fast 24 hours. All these fasts are Medina de Gemara, the Rabban writes in the Torah Sotah. Please get that. I remember Shem to tell this from the Rams, that's how there were Gedolim in Eastern Europe that fasted 24 hours for some Gedalia. Sar B'Tavish, Shemas B'Tam was 24 hours because it was anti-Semitism, they had no Beis HaMikdash. So I want you to get that. Medina de Gemara, you have to fast all of these four fasts, please get it, if there is no Beis HaMikdash and anti-Semitism. Ain bias, the ain shalom malchus. Thank God we live in blessed America, bless Hashem, blessed America. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but we have shalom malchus. Ni'ikar adin, we don't have to fast today. Ratzu misanim, ratzu ain misanim. Please get it. Medina de Gemara, Rashon, Dafi Chesabes, we don't have to fast. Ratzu misanim, ratzu ain misanim. There is no requirement for us to fast. However, no one should leave Shir and say we don't have to fast and therefore break the fast. The Baha'i writes, we as Klal Yisrael accepted upon ourselves that these fasts, we must fast, and they became obligatory. Shavyuya alav kechayvim. We put it upon ourselves like it was obligatory. Okay? Shavyuya alav kechayvim, and therefore you are obligated to fast. Alach alamais. Okay? Where is the similar Baha'i like that? Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv midini de gemara, machlekes tanoim. We pass like the Tanit says Ma'ariv is Rishus. That means Rishus. Taisa says it's Rishus against another mitzvah. But the truth is, there's a Tana that says Ma'ariv. You're not in the mood to die Ma'ariv, I'm going to die Ma'ariv, Chas V'Shalom. The Baha'i says we accepted upon ourselves all of Klal Yisrael that Ma'ariv became a Chola, and therefore that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Oh, so please get it. That's the second phase. What's the third phase? When we have the Beis HaMikdash, what will these days become? Days of Sason, the Simcha, Yom Tov. So know those three stages, okay? So the truth of the matter is that Lamaisa, how on earth could the Ran say that we don't say Kiddush on the coast? Obviously you don't say Kiddush on the coast. I mean, come on. I mean, Tisha B'Av, you're not eating and drinking at night. The other fast days also you're not what? Let's say the other fast days would be an anti-Semitism, God forbid. In Iran, let's say, where they had anti-Semitism. 24 hours they would have to fast according to Rabban. What? You have to tell me you don't say Kiddush? It's obvious. Why do we say Kiddush in Yom Kippur? Why do we say Kiddush in Yom Kippur? The Gemara writes in Erevin on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. There's no one to drink it. That's why. So Gemara says, give it to a cotton. Give it to a cotton. What's the Gemara answer? Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph. I think it's Amud Aleph wrong. I forgot her. It's Daf Mem. Asa L'Misruch. If you give the cup to drink on Yom Kippur, it'll grow up thinking it can drink wine on Yom Kippur. So therefore, we don't say Kiddush at all on Yom Kippur. Okay? At all. None whatsoever. Whatever, if there's a chola that's got to eat, does he say Kiddush? We paskin, no. We paskin like Dor Sameach, he don't say Kiddush. But the Kivag writes, there was no takana of Kiddush on Yom Kippur. Even Yom Kippur, Shchaldeos B'Shabbos, we don't say Kiddush. Machlech Rebbe Kivag, Dor Sameach, we say that the takana of Kiddush was never enacted on Yom Kippur. Allah Lomais. Okay? Oh. So what on earth does the Ram need to point out to me? There's no Kiddush alakos in the Titus. What's the answer? The answer is exactly what we're building up. Because Titus has a partial Kiddush to it. It is a partial Yontif. I would have entertained the Havamina that in fact, in order to usher in the Titus, you must say Kiddush. Kamash Moran, the answer is we don't say Kiddush. He has to point out to you ain't Ben Kiddush. But that's proof of the terrorists. And this is the second marker that we find the Kedusha of Tainus expresses itself in the midst of Tshuva and in Chesbon HaNefesh. Oh, that's the second marker. Okay, third marker. There is a Rith on Dalet and Aleph there in Tainus and the Dapya Rith that quotes a Yushalmi. What does the Yushalmi say? What does the Yushalmi say? Leilo kiyomo, kishabbos. That time is, the night is like the day. The night is like the day. Kishabbos. Just like Shabbos, the night is like the day. Every second of Shabbos is equal to each other. There's a kedusha in the beginning. I remember of Kohen Shlitis always tells us to keep your tie on. You know, a lot of guys, they loosen the tie, Shabbos mincha, not loosen, they take it off. He said that the Kedusha of Shabbos is the same as the beginning as the end. And therefore, what? You should keep the tie on from the beginning of Shabbos till the end of Shabbos, right? Okay, that's what he, and that's the truth. The truth is that the Kedusha of Shabbos is the same, and that's why we assume the Leil Shabbos is like the Shabbos itself, okay? That's what Kohen said, okay. Very interesting. It's very interesting. Makes sense, too. Why should, if you're in a tie Friday night, you know, why should you take off the tie of Shabbos mincha? Okay. Alright, whatever the case might be, what we want to bring out is that Atinus is like Shabbos Mamish. And what does that mean? That the Lel Tinus is the same as the day of what? Tinus. Ah, you're eating and drinking? You're eating and drinking? Okay. But the truth of the matter is, maybe because that's, you know, it's too hard for us to accept upon ourselves 24 hours, there's no anti-Semitism. So the whole kindness we're doing is we self-imposed anyway, so we don't self-impose 24 hours, and it's no anti-Semitism. Okay, but what I want to bring out is that that's why you say Aneinu by all three tefillahs, because every second of the kindness is equal. That's why there's a shita that says you say Aneinu by all three. We don't potskin like that shita, but we're explaining that shita in the Gemara and Shabbos. The reason why you say Aneinu by all three is because the fact is the properties of the kindness have begun at night, and we have to treat it very seriously. And they have begun at night, and therefore you have to cheshbon hanefesh, you have to be doyeg. Therefore you can say aneinu, aneinu, biyom somtani senu, even though you're eating and drinking. Because we're not focusing on the eating and drinking, we're focusing on the tshuva that has began. And that's why the Rif says there's a sheet in the Gemara that says you say aneinu by all three. If you look in Rashi and Shabbos and Chav Dalam, Rashi gives a different answer. He says, technically, it's the lel of the tainus. Rashi says, because the Laila is machnis the yom, the night ushers in the day. Since the night ushers in the day, therefore you can say aneinu. He's saying it's a technical reason. We're giving a conceptual reason that every second of Shabbos is identical, every second of what? Of the tainus is identical. That modelization is very telling. Because we're modeling the Tainus again after Shabbos. Shabbos has Kedusha, Tainus has Kedusha as well. This is the third marker that we mentioned that has this halacha that there is a mix of Kedusha Sayon. Okay, so how does it express itself? It expresses itself in the notion of tshuva. The fourth marker was the Rambam that we were masbir. And that's why the Rambam, the very same halacha, when he talks about the fabric and the notion, the essence of a tainus, he quotes the technical halachas about the tainus. Part of the very fiber and fabric of the tainus, he says also this halacha about, if you forgot to eat, or if you taste something, you spit it out. Because he wants to bring out that the essence. So it's a mixus yontif that expresses itself in Kedusha. That's why it's Sefer Zmanim. And therefore, it's modeled after Shabbos, Legami Kabbalah Shabbos. The Ron writes, there's no din of Kiddush, you would have thought there would be. And also the third din we're saying is that there is a halacha of Aneinu by all the tefillahs, and even though we don't paskin like that, the reason is because Leilo Kiyom, not like Rashi, it's a technical reason. Why is it that we paskin, you only say Aneinu by Mincha? Why is it that we only say Aneinu by Mincha? Because we're afraid a guy won't get through the fast, and therefore he'll be lying. So we only have the Tzibur say Aneinu in the morning. Because we assume that the tzibur is going to get through, but as an individual, we wait till mincha. That's why there's a big machlokes. Okay, in yeshiva it's different, but there's a big machlokes in general between Rashi and the Rosh against the Rambam. What's better to daven, mincha gedol or mincha ktana? What's better in general to daven, mincha gedol or mincha ktana? Right, mincha gedol is from 12:30 to 3:30 in a perfect 12-hour day. Mincha ktana is from 3:30 to 6. What's better? So it's a big machlokes. But the Shartzin says on a tainus, everyone agrees mincha ktana. Why? Because you want to push your mincha towards the end of the day so you can say aneinu. Right? Because you don't want it to turn out to be false. If you said aneinu at 1:30 or 2 and you don't end up fasting, you had to break the fast. Turns out retroactively you lied to Hashem. Okay, but in yeshiva it's different because Barov HaMap Smelach. Okay. But Lomaisa, you should know that machlokes. Okay? Oh. Let us now offer a second mahalach as to what exactly a tainus is all about. Tainus, the first mahalach, was to express itself as being a day of tshuva. That's what we want to say. Express itself as being a day of tshuva. Now maybe we could suggest a second mahalach as to what tainus tells us. And that is as follows. The kedusha of a tainus expresses itself not just in tshuva, but it's a yom korban. It's a day of sacrifice. A day of sacrifice. The second mahalach we want to say is a Yom Korban. Not Yom Tshuva, like the first mahalach, but a Yom Korban. A day of Korbanus. Last time I checked and answered them, I didn't see any Mizbeach or Korbanus. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet. What does this mean? Oh. So Tosos writes in Tzachim and Daf Nun, quotes Yerushalmi, amazing thing. I don't mean to say literally a Yom Korban. Why? Because on the day of a Korban, it's also to do malach. You're not allowed to go to work. Anyone who had brought a Korban during the times of the Beis HaMikdash was also to malach. On the Tainus, there is no Isser Malach. On the Tainus, there is no Isser Malach, none whatsoever. So when I say it's a Yom Korban, it's not a Yom Korban Mamish, because if it would be a Yom Korban Mamish, there would be carried with it an Isser Malach. But there is no Isser Malacha. You're allowed to go to work. You're allowed to go to work. On Tisha B'Av, there is a din in the Gemara, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, they are not Eino Ro Asim and Bracha from any work that you do on Tisha B'Av. Okay, that's a special din that got to be Tisha B'Av, because that was the Korban. But theoretically, on a Tainus, there is a Heter to go to work. So when I say that a Tainus is a Yom Korban, it's not a Yom Korban Mamish, because a Yom Korban Mamish is also to do Malacha. Fact, there's an amazing Yerushalmi that Tosis quotes there in Daf Nun Amud Aleph. If you get a chance, take a look. He says, how is anyone ever able to go to work during the times of the Beis HaMikdash? There was a Korban Tumid brought every day. How is it possible anyone could go to work? I'm not going to work. It's a Korban. It's a Yom Korban. Well, every day there was a Yom Korban. So how could you go to work? You know what? You know what Yerushalmi answers? Fasafta Diganecha. There was a special heter that Yerushalmi dug up from a pasuk mentioned in Kriyat Shema. You can gather your wheat. There's a special heter that Torah gives you to go to work. For if it was not for that special heter, you wouldn't have to go to work. You sit and learn. They blow on the brake and you sit and learn. That's all. No work. Okay? What'd you say? No, so there's a special hetter to do malacha. But if it wasn't for that, it would be usher.
I have to do malacha all the time, so you're never able to do anything.
Any work? You could learn. It means malacha shal tircha. What is malacha? I'm glad you asked me that, Zach. Here malacha means malacha shal tircha, like shvitzin. Doesn't mean lamet as malachas. It means like malacha falamoy, malacha erev pesa, malacha shal tircha. Shvitzin. Okay. So that's what I mean to say that it's a Yom Korban, not Yom Korban Mamish, because what would carry with it be Nisr Malach, we don't have Nisr Malach on Titus. Okay. And Tisha B'Av is in a Rosh Hashanah Brach. It's a special Malach. Where can we prove that a Titus is a Yom Korban? Where do we prove it? There is a Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that says that on the day of a Titus, the diminution of my fats and bloods, or blood, that has diminished over this day should be as if they were offered on the Mizbeach itself. Mir chelbi v'dami. The diminution of my chelbi v'dami should be as if I offered them on the Mizbeach itself. One of the things of Korbanos, you know, the Rama wrote a sefer on Machshava about Korbanos. Gives like 11 different reasons in Korbanos. We can't be mocked of ourselves, Chas v'Shalom. That's Mavid Atzmo Das, prohibited. According to the Pesikta, it's an Isur Ritzicha. Lo Tit Ratzeach. Someone takes a gun to my head and says, kill yourself, or I'm going to kill you. I have to let him kill me. I can't kill myself. According to the Pesikta, that's called Ritzicha. I mean, Chaschinuch argues and says it's an Isur, Mavid Atzmo Das, but it's not an Isur Ritzicha. Okay, but nonetheless, it's an Isur, right? It's an Isur. So, obviously you can't mock with yourself on the Mizbeach. But a tainus is if the diminution of my blood and fats and blood is if I was offered on the Mizbeach. So in that sense that a Yom tainus is Yom Korban. Where do we say this? And this is, I always announce this, we have to say this. In Mincha of a tainus, you must say before the second Yilurotzon, no, we say Yilurotzon twice, before the second Yilurotzon, we say the bottom paragraph. It says, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, let me give it to you. Simen, Tov Kuf Samech Esif Dalet in Orachai. Ribon Olin, Galui V'yadun L'fenecha. It's revealed and known before you. Bizman Shev Es HaMikdash Kayam, when the time of this HaMikdash existed, Adam Choyvi who may be Korban. Person sinned would bring a Korban. Vein Makrimi Menor L'chel Bo V'damo. You only sacrifice from it the fats and blood. And you, with your great mercy, atone for us, position. And now, Yashavti v'tanis. Now I'm sitting in the tanis. And my fats and blood have diminished. Yirotzo, let it be your will, Hashem, afanecha before you. The diminution of my fats and blood, shenismayt hayom, that have diminished this day. As if I offered myself in front of you on this bed, and it be appeased. The Pharisee didn't jump off in the suit. Many people don't know it, but we must say it by a tainus you will. This is the first marker that a tainus is a Yom Korban. Not Yom Korban, but a Yom Korban. Second marker. The Rama writes in Yor Dea, Simikuf Pei Hei Sif Dalet. If a person does a terrible Aveira, if he lives with a Nida, terrible Aveira, Yechayv Karis, we learned about that in the Gemara and Taisis, right? There is a Aloche that is Chayv Karis. Is there any tshuva that the person could do in his life? So the Rama writes that a person that was boiled in Nida should fast 40 days and he can eat at night. The Rama writes, at night, when he eats, he should not eat meat and drink wine on the lail of the tainus. Okay? Fast 40 days, and at night, he cannot eat meat and drink wine on the lail of the tainus. Now, what does lail tainus mean? What does lail tainus mean? I would have said it meant the night before the fast, right? When does the Jewish day begin in halacha? The night before, right? Oh. So the Pesachei Tshuva in Sifkat Yud Gimel, quotes B'Shem the Torah Shlomo, he's not sure what the Rama means.
Does he mean the night before? Okay, night before it makes sense. I mean, if you're going to fast tomorrow and try to engage in real kapara, it's not proper eating steak and drinking wine the night before, right? But what's the svara to say in that the night afterwards? What's the svara? There's only one category in halacha, only one, that the night follows the day, meaning that the halachic day would begin in the morning. Which category? Every halacha, the halachic day begins when?
At night.
At night. What's the one category in halacha that the halachic day begins in the morning? Which category? Kutchin. In Chulin and Daf Pei Gimel and Aleph, it says the Lailas Holech Achar Yom. Just like secular day begins in the morning. Kutchin is the only halacha. You follow me? Kutchin is the only halacha that the halachic day starts in the morning. Therefore, if it is improper, the time is, you're fasting in the daytime, granted you can eat at night, but it's improper to start eating with meat and drinking wine when the whole day you were fasting and doing kapara. And by kutchin, it goes into the night. So you might be able to eat, but only milchus. You follow what I'm saying? It's inappropriate. What do you see from this? That tainus is modeled after what? Kutchin. What do we do? Piskachuba says you should be machmer both directions. The man shouldn't eat meat and drink wine the night before the fast and the night after the fast as well. That's what the Marshal says. Quotes the Marshal. Now, there are those, which is it's a good idea health-wise, there are those that take this Ramah and say you're never supposed to break any fast with fleshes. Any fast. Certainly the four that are above Ram Korban. Here, it's inappropriate. You're fasting the daytime tonight to eat it with meat. It's inappropriate. There are those that have this Chumrah. Rav Eider quotes this Chumrah based on the Ramah. This Ramah. Now, Mr. Bruce says no. Mr. Bruce says the only day where you cannot break a tainus with fleshix is which day? Tisha B'Av. Mr. Bruce in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Chesiv Kanei, why can't you break the tainus of Tisha B'Av with fleshix? Because the fast, because the velus goes to the 10th of Av, right? And Chatzos was still burning. Majority of the day burned on the 10th. But the Mr. Bruce says only that day. Mashma, every other tainus you could break with fleshix. Okay? Very important. So, if you hold this chumrah of the Ramah, and it's a din of kutchin, so you could argue on the Ramah and say, that's a din limited to the terrible error that the guy did. It's a special chumrah. Who said it should apply to all tanesim? But there are those that want to extend it. There are those that want to extend it. Now, even if you have this chumrah, I just want to note, it will not apply to Yom Kippur or Purim, Tainus Esther. Because Yom Kippur has nothing to do with Avelos. In fact, Yom Kippur has an element of Simcha to it. Where's the element of Simcha? Sudim Afsakis, the Netziv, being forgiven, like you said, that's what you said, being forgiven. The Netziv says the Simcha beating is the Sudim Afsakis. What happens if someone buries one of his loved ones before Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is Vavakal Shiva, the Miri says, the Mishnah says, Amoy Kotten. Because there's an element of Simcha to it. It's nothing to do with Avelos. Nothing to do with Avelos at all. The tshuva is part of the Kedushas Hayom. Now, tshuva can be Avelos, but also tshuva can be on its own with nothing to do with Avelos, like Yom Kippur. So since Yom Kippur has nothing to do with Avelos, you could break the fast of fleshes. I don't recommend it either, health-wise. And Tainus Esther, the Tainus of Simcha, could also break the fleshes. So even if you have this Chumra, those two would be the exception. But what we glean from this is, according to the Shulchan, that again, Tainus is a din korban. Tainus is a din korban, and therefore you will not be able to eat basar v'lav of lil tainus. Okay? Oh. Now, this would lead us to be masber amachlekes tin remoishin zatzal and the rot zatzal. Remoishin, igris moishin, in Orachayim chelik aleph simin kuf samaches discusses whether it is mutter to get married on Lel Shivasar B'Tamuz, right before the fast and the 3 weeks begin. We know you're not allowed to get married during the 3 weeks, Shulchan Aruch says. What about the night of Shivasar B'Tamuz? What do you say? So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuvas that he thinks Lamaisa that it is mutter. And Rav Zatzal held that it was awesome. What's the machlekes? Rav Moshe said that 3 weeks begin when? In the morning, when the Isra of Achilu Ishtiyah begins. The Rav said no. A tainus is a mixus yontif that begins at night, and the properties of the day begin at night, where you have to start doing a cheshbon and nefesh, and you have to start introspecting, and therefore, that must begin when? At night itself. Even though you're eating and drinking, but he says the din of the 3 weeks set in at night, and the Rav held it was usher to have a chasana at that time. Now, this would also be mazur. Guys always ask me, gosh, this shaila on the times, can you take a shower? So the Magen Avraham in Simen Tov Kuf Nun, I made a mistake in the Marmakomos, it's Simen Tov Kuf Nun, Sifkot and Gimel says, B'shem Neshwar HaKadosh, that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer on all the Chamesh Sinuyim except for wearing leather shoes. We know that on Yom Kippur and Tishpah we have the Chamesh Sinuyim, eating and drinking, not putting oil on, not bathing, not having marital relations with one's wife. And Mikra Adin, on the other fast days, it's only eating and drinking. But the Magen Avraham quotes about that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer like the Shlach Kodesh and accept upon oneself all of the chumras except for what? Except for wearing leather shoes, because we don't want to be made fun of by non-Jews that might make fun of us. Chukavit Blum. What's that all about, this chumra not to take a shower? It's because, in fact, there is a kedusha to the day. And since there is a kedusha to the day, and it expresses itself either in tshuva or being a korban, it makes sense that we should model it after Yom Kippur. Everything except for wearing leather shoes. And therefore, we know that on Yom Kippur, eating and drinking is d'oraisa, it's chiyuv karis. The other ones are machlokes rishonim, whether d'oraisa d'rabbanan. It's machlokes d'ran, and the taisa shishonim. Are the other Chamesh Shinuyim on Yom Kippur d'oraisa d'rabbanan, right? You can't use deodorant on Yom Kippur, right? On Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to use deodorant to get rid of sweat. On Yom Kippur, the Sika is also even louder Zuma. You're not allowed to use deodorant on Yom Kippur. It's also. Okay? So we find this halacha regarding what? Regarding the concept of a tainus. The Mela, this would be Masbir, the Rambam, as we began with. And there is another Rambam we should mention in Hilchos and Perish Mishnais in the end of Maseches Tainus. Okay? In the end of Maseches Tainus, the Rambam writes in the Perish Mishnais, phenomenal Chiddush, that there's a din called Tosefes Tisha B'Av. Amazing. Rambam writes, there's a halacha of Tosefes Tisha B'Av. What is Tosefes Tisha B'Av? You usher in Tisha B'Av early and end it late. Now, the only time you have Tosefes is on a day that has Kedusha to it, right? Like Shabbos, like Yontif. You know, Tosefes Yom Kippurim is what? Where is Tosefes Yom Kippurim mentioned? Where is it mentioned? Rosh Hashanah Dach Tes, and Yuma Dach Pei Aleph. You know, we have to usher in Yom Kippur early. That's a din d'oraisa. You have to end it late. Tosefes Yom Kippurim is d'oraisa. By Shabbos and Yontif, it's a big machlek, is whether the Rama held it even exists or not. Or it might be d'oraisa, or maybe d'rabbanan. The three sheet is an acronym in the Rama. What is Tosefes Shabbos? D'oraisa? D'rabbanan, or doesn't exist? But Tosefes Yom Kippur is on the Gemara, then it's a din d'oraisa. Mamish. You know, that's what the Ramon writes. There's a big machlokes about Tosefes Yom Kippur. You know what the Magen Mishnah says? It's only on the Inuyim. You have to stop eating early. But regarding turning on lights, this or Malacha, no, there's no din of ushering in early. And the Rav thought the Magen Mishnah was wrong. The Rav thought it was a package deal. They're inextricably linked. The Inuyim are inextricably linked with this or Malacha. They're mamish linked together. So since they're mamish linked together, just like there's a din Tosefes on the Inuyim, so you got to stop turning the light on also early. You follow what I'm saying? The Ramon is a very interesting din. I think it's even tougher to shoot out of. Okay? He says there were women, it doesn't have to apply to women, there are men also who do this, that ate to the very last second till Shkia. They're making a very big mistake, because they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of what? Tosefes Yom Kippur, right? So should I tell them or not? So there's a rule in the Gemara in Be'ah Daf Lamed that says the following. What does it say? It says, Mutav утопшие жонги, Бао и Ю, Бао и Ю Мэйзи. It's better to be shonge rather than Mazi. And the guys might not listen to you.
The case in the Mechaber, there was the women, but also men could do the same thing, right? So what do? Don't tell them. Because if you tell them, then they become Mazi. It's better that what? They should be shonge rather than be Mazi. Okay? Because they're not fulfilling mitzvah to Zimri, but they're not going to listen to me. Okay. This halacha does not apply, says the Rosh, the Shem, the Baal Hitter, if it is Mefurish B'Krah. See, how does this cloud square with the mitzvah in the Torah of Ocheach, Tochiach, and Samisah? I mean, on one hand you say, let the guy who showed not be mezid. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to rebuke the guy. Now how do these two things square? It's a great kasha, no? The Rosh asked that B'Shem the Baal Hitter in Bayit. You know what he answers? If it's Mefurish B'Krah, if the affair the guy's doing is Mefurish in the Poskin Chumash, then Sarich, Rosh, B'Shem Baal Hitter, and this is the Rawaiyar of the scenario of Kippur. Rosh, B'Shem the Baal Hitter, Mefurish B'Krah, Sarich, Lochiach. You must want to rebuke the guy. If it's explicit in Chumash, you got to tell the guy. Why is that true? Why is that true? That it's explicit in Chumash, you have to rebuke it. It doesn't say it. So the Rav, there are two svaras we could give. Number one, Mishnah Berurah quotes a Rashba and Beah and Nachlamet. Mishnah Berurah B'Shem, the Rashba, says, because we assume the guy's amazing. The stomach amazing. It is the first impulsive. Stomy knows it. So we shouldn't assume he's shogeg. Okay, that for many Jews nowadays, that's really not so. Many of you haven't heard of Shatness. It's explicit in the Chumash, right? Okay? There's no doubt about that. So there's another reason the Rav said. Very interesting. The Rav said it is not proper when you see someone doing a virus that you sit back and watch him do it. There are two reasons why you rebuke a guy. Why do we rebuke a guy? To stop him from doing a sin. Number one, Miniya Sahed. Stop him from sinning. That's number one. That's a simple reason why you rebuke a guy. But number two is, it's a Chil Hashem, exactly. It's not proper you sit back passively and watch a guy sin without saying anything. Regardless of whether he's going to listen to you or not. Now, Chumras Aver. What type of Aver requires you to stand up and protest? Every Aver a person does is an element of rebellion against Hashem. There's no doubt about that. But the elements of rebellion get stronger on certain types of Averis. Namely, Averis that Beferish and Chumash, the level of rebellion is so strong that it is improper that we sit back passively and watch the guy sin. Therefore, you must get up and tell him it is wrong and it's prohibited. You follow me? That's the reason why the Furish B'Krah is special. Either because you assume the guy's amazing, or like the Rav said, there are two reasons in general why you rebuke a guy. One is to stop from sinning. Number two is because the level of Chumras Aver is so great on the Richter scale, it's improper if I don't stand up and protest, regardless of whether he's going to listen. So this is the halacha that we find regarding what Tosefis. So Tosefis is only by what? By Inyanim of Kedusha. So the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Taanis says there's a din of Tosefis Tisha B'Av. What? How could there be a din of Tosefis Tisha B'Av? What's the answer? The answer is because there evidently must be an element of Kedusha to a Taanis as well. And therefore, since there is an element of Kedusha to it, you could be what? You could add on to it. And therefore, that's the din of Tosefis what? Tosefis Tisha B'Av. Because every fast has this element of Kedusha to it. Okay. Now let's move to the Shiloh about Ketanim by a Taimus, okay? What's the story of a Ketanim when it comes to Halacha of a Taimus? What do we assume? Must they fast? Must they not fast? The truth is that we paskin the following klal. It's in the Shach and in the Ramah. Ein Chinuch Laveris. There is no chinuch la'avelus at all. Okay?
There is no chinuch at all for Averus. None at all, none whatsoever. There's a din chinuch by all mitzvahs. Why all of a sudden Averus is there no din chinuch? The Shach, the Ramah, they all hold like this. What's the Pira though? So the base hillel on the side of the page, Shulchan Aruch says that all the nehugim of Avelis that are done are manifestations of tshuva. Because the Gemara says in Pesach, Misha Meis Bechabura, someone who dies in a group, Yidag Kol Chabura. Chas V'Sholem, then someone dies Chas V'Sholem in a Chabura, the whole Chabura should introspect. Someone loses one of his seven relatives, then he must introspect and he has to do tshuva. How does that manifest itself? How do we find that it manifests itself? It manifests itself with what? With doing the nehugim of tshuva, sitting on the floor, not looking in the mirror. All the dinim, the actions of an avel must do, are the nehugim avelis, which are expressions of tshuva. Now, is a katan culpable for his or her actions? No way. Therefore, if a katan lost one of his seven relatives, we send the katan out of the school, unless they really want to stay home. There is no din of shiva for them, because there's no requirement for them to do tshuva. There's no mandate for them to do tshuva. Bechlap. Okay? Because they what? They're not culpable for their actions. And therefore, we had the shot in the camp all the time, the katanim don't have to fast. Okay, maybe it's a good idea to have them practice, but they don't have to, Mikra din. My daughter that's in sixth grade this morning did not fast. Doesn't have to. However, we do find a fast day where there is a din chinuch. Which one? Excellent. It's a Mishnah in Yuma on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The Feirush Mishnah. That for a girl, when she's 10 or 11, she should fast the whole day. When she's 8 or 9, she should fast partial day. A boy, when he's 12 and 11, should fast the full day. And when he's 9 and 10, he should fast partial day. What's that all about? I thought there's no chinuch l'avelus. The answer is Yom Kippur has nothing to do with l'avelus. Yom Kippur is the kedusha of the day. Either tshuva, but the tshuva of Yom Kippur doesn't flow from l'avelus. The tshuva of Yom Kippur flows from the actual kedusha sayon. The actual kedusha sayon flows from there. Okay? The actual kedusha sayon flows from there. And that's good for the chiddush. That's good for the chiddush. The kedusha flows from the kedusha. The tshuva flows from the kedusha sayon. Therefore, there's a din chinuch. And you know where else would there be a din chinuch by a fast? Tainus Esther. Because Tainus Esther has nothing to do with avelus. It's a tainus of simcha. Therefore, it's very interesting. On the two polars, Yom Kippur is the most severe fast of the year. Is it din chinuch? And the most makel one, Tainus Esther, which even someone who has an IA, God forbid, the Ramah writes, doesn't have to fast. It's only kula kov A9. So you see, on the two polars who have a din chinuch, but the middle four, we call them, which revolve around the churban beis hamikdash, ein chinuch l'avelus. And therefore, there is no inyan to what? There's no halacha to go ahead and what be mechanicha. Okay? Oh. Now, that's the chiddush that we want to say by timeless. Okay, so let's close now with some yoni tshuva and from the parsha. And we don't really have time to get in after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Now, one of the days I definitely wanted to give a shir b'linetter on Esro of Shemitah. You know, which Esro? This whole, we learned that this summer. So I want to go through that, and we'll see what we'll do on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, okay? And one of the 3 days, we'll definitely do that. And I want to, we'll see if we get to that meaning about Kiddin, or maybe we'll do it after Sukkot. Okay, but please, Chazer, so we don't forget we're at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, right by the two lines. Okay. I saw a very amazing shot from a Shore Shliter, okay? Rabbi from Shore. So I quoted. And in fact, I heard him spoken Sayek last week. I never heard him speak before. He's a tremendous speaker. Unbelievable. He has a sefer called Lekach Va'alibu. Phenomenal. So he wanted to say the following. We mentioned this Rambam. But we mentioned the Rambam. What does the Rambam say about Shofar? Rambam says that the shofar is a spiritual alarm clock. To go over as alavavos, right? Where else do you find the Rambam about alarm clocks? Awaking, slumbering. Two other places he writes in the Rambam, for sure, says. You have it by the mezuzah. When you kiss the mezuzah, it's not magic and superstition, the Rambam says, but it's supposed to warn you about the unity of Hashem. Rambam writes, it awakens you. Where's the third place? If, God forbid, someone loses one of the seven relatives, then the avelis that one does supposed to awaken you as well. So you have three places. Shofar, mezuzah, and what else? Avelis. So Rav Shor wanted to say, this corresponds with the Gemara Brachas on Dalam Beis and Haman Alf that says, how do you pounce on the Yitzhar? How do you take on the Yitzhar? You got to prevail over it. Everyone has the Yitzhar we have to try to prevail over. Number one is, you say Shema. Oh, sorry. Before, you take him to the Beis Medrash. Now, how do we connect the shofar with learning? Because we said shofar is tshuva, and Talmud Torah and tshuva, remember we discussed that? Talmud Torah and tshuva, Vashimina, Avila, Surah Sefer. So, the first way to fight the Yitzhar is through the shofar, which is Talmud Torah. If that doesn't work, what do? The Gemara says? Say Shema. That corresponds with what? The mezuzah. The unity of Hashem is mentioned where? Is mentioned in the mezuzah. Right? Then what does the Gemara say if that fails? Think about Yom Misa, the day of everyone's demise. That corresponds with the Avelis. That's a tremendous zach. And that's what one of these days, the Shavur says, every day of Aser Shemei Tshuva, today's Thursday, we're supposed to do tshuva for all the Thursdays throughout the whole year. That's a very, very powerful comment. And that means we must pounce on the Yitzhar, whether it's through the learning, whether it's through davening, Shema, or whether it's, you know, thinking about Yom Nisa. But this is the time of awakening. This is the time that we must awaken ourselves. And the Indonim of Tshuva is very, very important because there really are two types of tshuva that I want to discuss now. One type of tshuva, and I just want to mention, no one should think, oh, so why is it cut and clapping al chet and Yom Kippur? I thought ein chinuch la'avelis. What's the answer? The tshuva that he's doing in Yom Kippur doesn't flow from avelis, it flows from what? The kedusha yom of Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with what avelis. But the first type of tshuva that you have is tshuva from Yira, tshuva mi-Yira. Second type of tshuva you have is tshuva mi-Av. Now, who's the one that's machadish this? The Gemara, Reish Lakish, in Maseches Yuma, on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. Reish Lakish is machadish that if you do tshuva out of Yira, it takes a chet that you did, bemeis it, and downgrades it to becoming an Avera Bishogig. Okay? Takes an Avera that you did bemeis and downgrades it to becoming Shogig if you do Tshuva Mirah. What happens if you do Tshuva Mi'ava? Can take an Avera that you did bemeis it and it becomes an actual mitzvah. It's an amazing chiddush. Can you imagine that? If you do Tshuva Mi'ava out of law first, not because you're afraid you're going to get punished, it can take an Avera you did and transform it into a mitzvah. That's an amazing, how could that be? And we all know that you can't do an Avera with in mind to do tshuva because Hashem doesn't accept such tshuva. Okay? So what's the pshat here? What's the chiddush here? So how could it be if you do tshuva mi'acha? So the Rav wanted to say there's a notion of kapara and a notion of tahara. What is kapara? Kapara means, basically, the way the Rav develops, if you ever get a chance to go through Al Tshuva, it's amazing. Basically, what kapara means is you're off the hook. In other words, but you haven't changed yourself. As you get off the hook for the avera you did, but you're really in that same environment, you're in the same surroundings, and you're really, your neshama is still tainted. And you really haven't changed yourself at all. You just happen to get off the hook and you're not going to be punished, because you did a tshuva mira, or you did a, you get a kapara. But there's a higher level, and that's called tshuva me'ava. Tshuva me'ava we want to say, will correspond to what we call tahama. And that actually purifies your soul, and you become like a new person. Like the Rav gives an example about a gambler. What does the Gemara say a gambler has to do to become kosher leis? Not only does he have to stop the gambling, he has to get rid of all the chips from his house and rip them up. Why? And the Rambam doesn't record that in Hilchos Tshuva. I'm sorry, he puts it only in Hilchos Eidos. Correct. Not in Hilchos Tshuva. Why? Because Hilchos Tshuva deals with what he kapara gets off the hook. But to become kosher leis, he has to renew himself or remake himself. And that's what Tshuva Me'ava really is. Is you have to be able to get out of that whole, the whole ditch that you're in. You don't get out of the whole ditch, it's going to be very, very difficult. You might have kapara for that moment, but it might fall back in that same trap. And we strive to have not only tshuva me'ira, but we strive to have tshuva me'ahava. And the rewards are immense. That your aver becomes a what? Your aver becomes an actual mitzvah. Now this is what we want to be mindful. How is that? How do you think that that's true? How can tshuva from ahava make an aver into a mitzvah? What's the pshat? What's the birat? So many, many Hasidic rebbeim explain the following. I want you to get this. We find that Avram Avinu changed the world by espousing monotheism. He changed the world. He espoused monotheism. How was he able to have such influence on this world? Because they knew him. He spoke their language. He was once one of them. He engaged in the idolatry that they did. He could speak their language. They didn't think he was a nut or a crazy fellow. They said, boy, he's speaking real words. This makes sense. It has values. There's a system to it. It makes sense. And they knew him. He was one of them. He was able to use his abeiras in his past and his life and in a sense sanctify them. And he made them into mitzvahs. That's what it means if you do tshuva me'ava. You can take an aver and make it into a mitzvah. Meaning he was able to transform those people that they would have never listened to him unless they knew him. That's what it means to take tshuva me'ava and make it into a mitzvah mamish. You follow what I'm saying? That's what that means. In other words, yidlus be makar of other yidin and speak their language in a sense, you make the avers into a mitzvah. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal chiddush. That's why it's very important. I think it's one third at least. One third of all the al-chets deal with what? Dibur. One third of all the al-chets deal with Dibur. And if you need to add more on, you can add more on as well. This is why many people are very bothered by why on earth do you begin? What is Kol Nidre? Everyone knows the phrase. But what does Kol Nidre accomplish? It's my place. There's been a time of the rush. Releases you from the Dharma of the past year, maybe even from the coming year. Why do we usher in the Yom Kodesh Nor of Ayom with Kol Nidre? Deals with Dibur, the Dharma. Why that? What's the hazard? Very important. Why? We have to know this. Why should it be that you usher in the holiest day of the year with what? With Hataras Nadar, Kol Nidre. What's up, Shah? What separates man from animals is the Koch of Dibur. And we have to make sure we have a clean slate when it comes to Dibur. If you take Nadar and you don't fulfill them, in fact, if you take Nadar in general, they're bad. The Gemara says, Kol Hanodar Kilu Bana Bama. Anyone who takes a Neder is as if he built a bama. Mamish. Why? If I take a netter not to eat an orange, why am I prohibiting an orange? Orange is mutter for me. Why am I adding things on? A bama is being makav a korban to Hashem, but not in the right place. You're going out of the system. Lord, I just want to look at you. Why do you ask from them? It's a terrible thing. The Dharma are a bad thing unless you take a netter to do a mitzvah. And therefore, you have to make sure you have a clean slate because the essence of an Adam is Dibor. That's what Rabbeinu Yoel said. Remember from the Ran, the definition of Gosis? Somebody showed him say he loses the ability to speak, Rabbeinu Yoel, the Ran quotes. Because that really means he's alive. If he's imminently about to die and he lost his speech, then he's a ghost. Then he can't talk, he can't touch him. There's a lach about a ghost, we said, remember? That, what does it say? Yipach ba'apam u'chayim, Hashem blew breath into Adam HaRishon, he blew in him the ability to speak, ruch ma'ulo. Therefore, you have to make sure you enter the holiest day of the year that you have a clean slate regarding Dibor. You haven't made avers with Dibor. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is a phenomenal thing. Rabbeinu Yonah says that our mouths are like a kli sharis. What was the kli sharis? Kli sharis was the kli in the Beis HaMikdash that did what? That sanctified the other kelim. The kli sharis touched the other kelim. Our mouths are like a kli sharis. If we speak Lashon Hara or Nivul Peh, that defames our kli sharis. That means any subsequent Torah or brachas or tefillah that comes out of our mouth is tainted a bit. Because we defamed it by speaking Lashon Hara, we tainted it by speaking Nivul Peh, and therefore it affects even subsequent Torah that comes out of our mouths. It's a beautiful imagery of the Rabbeinu Yehuda that our mouths are like a kli sharis. And that's what this Parsha Vayelech that we have this Shabbos is all about. What do you have in Vayelech? Eitan was asking earlier about, you have Haka. The Melech is supposed to be Melamed the Klal Yisrael. What? The Torah, but you bring little children, and the women, the men, women, children come. Why? What's it all about? In order to give them the ability to get schar for bringing the children, but it's much more than that as well. What's more than that is that, again, in the declaration of Hashem as being the Melech, everyone has to be but achdus. Why is it before Yom Kippur night, we say, we make an announcement, that even the Rishayim can come into the shul? Why? We make an announcement. Even the Rishayim can come into the shul. Everyone's invited. Why? Because the Gemara says in Krisis that the Ketores was 11 spices, and one of them was the Chelbana. It had a terrible odor. But the Gemara says if you don't have every spice, it's not good. The Gemara says you can't have a tiny sibur unless everyone's in there. Even the Avaryana. Even the Rishayim. Because we have to be b'yachad in order to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Melech, and to ask for true kapara as well. And that's why it is so critical to remember you should get to shul earlier on Kol Nidre, because you want to say Tefillah Zaka, who was written by the Chai Odom. And the Tefillah Zaka is where you forgive everyone that hurts you, and it's very critical that you say that. You also usher in Yom Kippur on that day, Tosef Yom Kippurim. When you say Tefillah Zaka, you have to get the shul early to say it. You say it standing, because you're ushering it in early. And therefore, you're forgiving everyone. And you should do it B'Lev Shalom, to the best of your ability. That's the famous shahr. We'll close with this. You have to ask Mechila from someone who spoke Lashon Hara about. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is quoted as saying, you don't have to. So many people would say, oh, the floodgates are open. You can speak Lashon Hara now. Chas v'shalom. Chofetz Chaim argues and says you must ask them for Mechila. So when the Chofetz Chaim was going to different Gedolim for Askamas, for a Sefer, came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, I cannot write Askamas because I don't agree with everything in the Sefer. There's one I'm Cholek on, and that you don't have to ask for Mechila if you spoke Lashon Hara about someone. So Chofetz Chaim said, why don't you write me Askoma, and write in the Askoma, you agree with every din in the Sefer, but this one. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, I can't do that, because no one reads Askomas. Once they see my name, they'll think I agree with every din in the Sefer. Even that din. So Rabbi Baron Zalvej is pointing out to us. Whichever one you hold like, Pasha Chad, like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, because if you ask a guy from a Chilu, he's supposed to make things worse. But what it means is the floodgates are not open. It's even worse. It's kind of like you've done an Aveira that you can't really get full Mechila on. So it's even worse, because you shouldn't ask him. So that's what Tefillah Zakah is so critical as well. So we have to make sure we say that, we get the Kol Nidre early and we say that it was written by the Chayot, and also there's a Vidui of Amnisim going, if you have time to do that as well. So this is what we have to strive to do. Okay, I want to wish everyone a good Shabbos, and Sunday we'll have regular time. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.